when you do, let them know you heard the broadcast here on WTRJ The Truth. John MacArthur is also brought to you in part by Ginn and Paetro, PA, a full-service law firm located in St. Augustine, serving all of Northeast Florida. They frequently service clients in the areas of estate planning and wills, probate, and business law. The firm's slogan is based out of Micah 6:8, to seek justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. The office is located just steps from the beach on A1A Beach Boulevard, just south of the St. Augustine Pier. The attorneys can be reached at 461-3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Christian teaching and talk. This is 91.7 FM, The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have each and every day as we face the issues. I'm wondering today, how much of the real news do we get? Someone said, watching the events in the world today is like drinking out of a fire hose. But there's so much out there. How much are we getting? How much of the real news are we assimilating? Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that many times we're so flooded with the so-called news that we conservatives, Christians, and patriots fail to see the real issues. We fail to see the trees because of the forest. I believe, in fact, maybe it's just me. As I roll the dial to watch the news on television, I find the overwhelming majority of what is called news is telling people how to bake an apple pie, or what pair of shoes would be best to wear, or what kind of dress is the fad today, or what someone has been doing in the local swimming pool, etc., etc., etc. But what about the real news that affects Christians, conservatives, and patriots in particular? How do we assimilate it? What do we view as news? How do we handle it? Today, we're going to be looking at an issue, I believe, just simply a simulation of some of the thoughts. News and what we should know. News and what we should know. I think many times we get a news flash, and Christians, conservatives, and patriots do not know how to handle it, or how it affects us, or how we should assimilate it in our lives, or how we should respond to it. I believe that we need to understand much of what is happening today simply goes by the board, and most are not recognizing down the road how it affects Christians, the churches, and patriots in our nation. As a result of that, many are operating in the dark. Many Christians, conservatives, and patriots, they perhaps you, as I'm speaking today, you will say, well, I didn't know that. I hadn't heard that. One of the issues, for example, did you know that the U.S. Supreme Court just ruled against the state of Florida and Governor DeSantis on his efforts with the new legislation that was passed in March and April of this year? That the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that the state of Florida cannot, through its law enforcement, do anything about illegal invaders coming in. Did you know that? I've not seen it on local, state, or national, international news. It's been almost an under-the-radar event. Maybe it's because most are not concerned. Maybe it's because most are not aware of it. Maybe it's because the socialist Marxist media decided that we just didn't know, need to know that information. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the fact that as we see the flooding taking place in North Carolina, in Texas, in Chicago, in New Mexico, as we watch the seemingly weather change, as they like to call it, climate change, as they have called it, as we are witnessing that taking place, have you asked the question why? How? Is there some phenomena that we're not aware of? Are there events that are taking place that we've not been told? Is it possible that what we're seeing is man-made? Is it possible that the floods are as a result of what man is doing? Also, we'll talk about today, have you heard that many of our religious colleges, universities, Christian schools of higher education have now embraced the LGBTQ sodomite agenda in order to enroll more students or in order to get more federal funds? These and other issues that I believe we need to be aware of, we will talk about today, and we want to invite you to respond to them. How do you feel about it? How will it affect conservatives and Christians as you see it? Are you bothered by it? How should we respond? The bottom line to what we want to discuss today, the bottom line is, as Ezekiel in 33:10 asked the question, how should we then live? What should you do? What should I do when we see these things coming about? When we see these things happening, how should we respond to it? When we recognize that there are major, major issues and problems. And Proverbs 29:2 says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. I believe we have gone through a cycle in American civil government where we have gone through a state of mourning as a result of trying to pull out of that and trying to extricate ourselves as a nation from that demise. We're witnessing the demonic activity intensifying, fighting against what God is trying to do, wanting to do through President Donald J. Trump. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you that we do so based on the authority, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. When Jesus was speaking to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Then in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the word of God. Thy word is truth. And Psalms 117, verse 2 says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. Some have asked the question, how long is forever? It's forever. I go back to the secularist of yesteryear, George Orwell, in his dystopian novel entitled 1984, by the way, published in the late 40s. I believe it was done in 47, 48, and 49. But in that dystopian novel, in part, Orwell made this statement. The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we find that, I believe, increasingly so in the society in which we're living in today. There's a mindset somehow, some way, that there's no absolute truth. In fact, saying that makes me think of the article that I recently read, headline, most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. Ladies and gentlemen, if we're absent of absolute truth, where do we go in a court of law? Where do we go for what is determined to be right or wrong? This same article states that 55% of the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, say that each person determines their own version of truth. It's the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that warns that America's decline is linked to the death of truth. So if we're going to cast truth aside, if we're going to have the idea that everybody has his or her own version of truth, it goes back to the days of the book of Judges. Everybody did that was right in his own eyes. And that's what we see taking place today. If we abandon, if we cast aside, if we ignore the centrality of truth. I like to quote the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my mantra. That's my mindset. That's my admonition each and every day on this broadcast, that we seek the truth. Now, listen very carefully. If you're looking to the Marxist media for the truth, you have failed the test. If you look to the ABC, NBC, CBS, etc., 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 for truth, you fail the test. Generally speaking, what I find with the news on all of the commercial network dials that's supposed to be giving us news, it has a bias. It's gone through the filter of those that are in charge and their perspective and how they want us to embrace it and view it. This is the reason I hear a news media person say, we're going to break it down for you. I simply scream at the television, don't break it down for me. Just tell me what the news is. Give me the facts. Give me the facts. You remember the old Joe Friday detective movies where Joe Friday would sit down with someone to interview and he'd say, just the facts, ma'am, just the facts. That's all I want in the news, just the facts. Seek the truth, listen to it, learn it, love it. Tell it, live it, and be willing, ladies and gentlemen, to stand and defend the truth, even to death. And I believe that day is coming. Now, I understand there are multitudes that say that some theological circles say that the world's going to get better and better, that we're headed for a worldwide global revival. That is simply not true based on the authority of the Scripture. Now, yes, after the rapture of the church, during the days of the tribulation, where 144,000 Jewish evangelists will be preaching the everlasting gospel, millions will get saved. The world's greatest revival will take place during the days of the tribulation, while Satan, through the Antichrist, is carrying out his task of trying to eviscerate, wipe out, and destroy the Jewish people. Millions of them will get saved because the gospel will be preached. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time has the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the homeowner brand as well as the professional landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark and identify you. On the campus of Tools for a Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for a Time. ToolsForATime.com. ToolsForATime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, just one moment. As I wrap up a monologue, we're going to open our telephone lines, invite you to call. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. I'm looking at a headline that's astonishing to me. Supreme Court denies Florida's request to enforce state law on illegal immigration. Let me read you just one paragraph. The Supreme Court on Wednesday refused to allow Florida to enforce a state law that makes it a crime for anyone to enter the United States illegally to enter or remain in the states. In a brief unsigned order, the justices left in place an order by the federal district judge in Miami that bars the state from implementing the new law. The groups challenging the law and argued that the state had failed adequately to explain why, especially given Florida's extensive and ongoing collaboration with federal enforcement efforts. The state must also be allowed to enforce its own state immigration system outside of the federal supervision and control while this is expedited and the litigation process proceeds. The Florida law at the center of the case is known as SB 4C, enacted by the state legislature in February of this year. The law makes it a crime for undocumented immigrants to enter or re-enter Florida. An immigration rights group, the Florida Immigration Coalition, and the advocacy group, the Farm Worker Association of Florida, went to federal court in Miami to challenge the law, along with two undocumented immigrants who could be arrested and prosecuted under the law, end quote. Let me summarize. Through the leadership of Governor DeSantis, bill was passed, debated in the House and the Senate, passed, signed by the governor, became law, and then a court, federal court, filed a claim to put it on hold. It was fast-tracked to the U.S. Supreme Court, and the U.S. Supreme Court said that the state of Florida cannot enforce immigration laws for illegals. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me just give you a little rationale of mine. You know, recently our mayor vetoed a bill in the city of Jacksonville that would call for and allow law enforcement to ask about immigration status with anybody they would stop, talk with, write a ticket on, or investigate. She vetoed that, claiming that it could not be enforceable. Now, here's my point. If the U.S. Supreme Court has said that the state of Florida cannot enforce that law, then our local mayor can say, see, I told you so, and open the wide open doors for the city of Jacksonville to become a sanctuary city. That's where it's headed now with the present leadership. That's my concern, and that concern would be multiplied across the state of Florida with city after city after city, especially with some of your blue mayors, Democrat, Marxist mayors, that have the attitude that we'll let everybody come in the door. They don't have to be legal, etc. So my question is to you, our listening audience, what are your thoughts about that? Should we be concerned? Should Christians, conservatives, and patriots be concerned? Should we be concerned from a church, from a Christian standpoint about this? How does it affect us? What say you? The telephone number is 904-831-0917. I believe Kenneth is on the line. Kenneth, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. I don't see how they could do that. I really don't. Because our governor is trying to protect our state. And our mayor is a nut. I hate to say it like that, but...
Well, that's being polite, I think, but go ahead.
Okay. But I do not understand how the Supreme Court can overrule our state, because we have rights. If you want to be a sanctuary city, so be it. But if Governor Sanchez wins this thing, our mayor, she's going to have to bow and bend down.
You see, well, one of the things that makes it so egregious to me, Kenneth, is the fact that the Supreme Court has now rendered an opinion. Their opinion was simply not ruling and making a decision, remanding it back to the appeals court that it appealed the case, and leaving it in limbo, but it is unenforceable. The law is unenforceable at this juncture. I go back to the Federalist Papers and the state rights that we have, and I believe the state has the right to make a determination. Yes. Who can come into the state legally. If it's illegal, I understand that the big picture says immigration is left up to the federal government. But when it comes down to the state rights, individual states, in my most humble opinion, has the right to adjudicate, make the determination and the decision as to if a person is illegal, that they can't come into the state. I believe it is the power of the state, and I believe Governor DeSantis may or may not appeal it. I do not know the legalese in the process at this juncture, where the U.S. Supreme Court has basically said, hands off, leave the case in limbo as it is, that's blocked the enforcement of it. But I foresee a major, major, major indication of how it can affect our state and how it can affect our state in this fashion. With our state becoming, our state could very easily become a sanctuary state. If that takes place, it will encroach on religious rights, religious freedom, freedom of speech. It will encroach upon our comfort and way of life in the state of Florida. And I think it should be, the question should be asked by every patriot, every conservative, every Christian, how should we then live and stand up, speak up, and be heard? I think it's time that we stop being asleep and be salt and light in the nation, community, the state that we're living in. Kenneth, there's another question that I have for you before we let you go. We're talking about five or six major, major issues on the broadcast today. News and what we should know. So we've talked about that, and we'll still entertain questions from the listening audience about that subject. But are you aware that in every area of flooding, Texas, New Mexico, Chicago, North Carolina, cloud seeding was done just days or weeks before the flood came? Now, my question to you, and I know it's not something that most people get up in the morning and say, I wonder about cloud seeding today. Most people have never heard of it. Most of our listeners may not have thought it was serious or problematic. Your thoughts on, does man have the right and the authority to try to circumvent God and make it rain if God says no, and then that process causes the flooding that we're seeing in America? What are your thoughts?
It is crazy. And I believe that I think Russia and China, if I'm not mistaken, and I guess the U.S. too, they have satellites that can control the weather. I might be wrong, but it's like crazy. I mean, they're stepping on God's toes, and God's going to slap them.
Well, one of the things that's taking place, Kenneth, and I'll say this and let you run. Since about 1955, in Texas, for example, they made a decision that because many places of Texas were crusty and just simply a dust bowl, man made the decision, laws were passed in the state of Texas in the 50s that allows man to geoengineer our climate system and to cloud seed, that's sowing into the clouds, all kinds of chemicals to force it to rain. And listen very carefully. Two days before the floods in Texas, cloud seeding had taken place, and the cloud seeding over 31 million acres. And they interviewed, an individual anchor on Fox News, interviewed the one that is the CEO of a company called Rainmaker. He admitted that 2 days before the floods that they had seeded the clouds in that entire area. But he goes on to say that had nothing to do with the flood. Now, I beg to differ. I am concerned with where our globe is headed, where our nation is headed, and this has taken place not just in Texas, not just in New Mexico, not just in North Carolina, not just in cities and parts of America, but it's happening on a global basis. And just in April of this year, the state of Florida passed a law that makes it illegal in the state of Florida to do cloud seeding. I think it's too late. I don't think you can say isolate one state. State of Georgia is just introducing legislation as we speak to stop cloud seeding in the state of Georgia. But I think it's too late for individual states to do that. I think it needs to, my personal opinion, your take on it is invited. And my personal opinion is there needs to be federal investigation and federal laws passed that would prevent man monkeying with, if you want to use that term, with our clouds and with our weather system. It's a man trying to be God, is my opinion. And so I think, Kenneth, we need to be very, very concerned with that taking place in America. We need to be concerned right at this very moment. You can turn on the news. You can turn on the news and watch the national weather forecasting, and they're forecasting rain across America with flooding up and down the eastern seaboard, flooding across North Carolina, flooding in New Mexico, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I think it is a sad, sad shame that we're trying to circumvent God, and I believe making a calamity out of our weather system, and yet they're blaming our flooding on climate change and weather change. Sure it is, but it's man doing it. But Kenneth, it deserves our prayer, deserves our continue to look up and recognize when these things are coming about that our redemption is drawing near. I invite anybody to study the book of Luke's Gospel, the 21st chapter, and see what the Scripture says in verses 20, 21, 22, 23, etc. Then in verse 28 says, look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. We're witnessing the final days, in my most humble opinion. It's not said for frightening, but it's said that we might be ready and understand what God is doing. Kenneth, brother, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article. The aerosoled says chemtrails, metals, are not only blocking out our sun, but result in the geoengineering, that is, weather manipulation, and the metals, aluminum, barium, strontium, magnesium, and other metals are now being found in high concentrations in our topsoil, which prevents fruit trees and other crops from absorbing the nutrients. And the answer, the question that with this article, who will control our food supply? You read the Scripture and you find, this writer says, tribulation days of famine are coming. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, as mankind, as human beings, try to manipulate the weather, we are poisoning our soil with the potentiality of poisoning society and are causing famine on a global basis. You know, there could be what is simply called unexpected results or unexpected or unusual results as a result of some of the things that mankind does. And I believe this could very well be one of them. I believe that as a result of the seed clouding or the cloud seeding, I believe that somehow, some way, we could have unintended consequences taking place. And I believe that's highly probable even in society today. We need to be aware of what's been. Listen, I understand. Some say, well, Christians ought not to be worried about it. I've heard Christians say, well, you know, God's in control. I'm not going to worry about it. Everything's going to be a case that I say it's wrong. There's no need to worry about it. What will be, will be. I just disagree with that. I believe that it's time Christians stand up, speak up, be heard. I believe it's time that conservatives understand the nature of what is taking place. I'm looking at a serious, major article. What is cloud seeding? Let me read you a paragraph. It's a scientific, it is a scientific procedure of weather manipulation that alters a cloud's capability to produce rainfall by dispersing cloud condensation agents into the air. These agents act as ice nuclei and basically manipulate the intrinsic mechanism of cloud formation. There are three types of cloud seeding techniques. Then the article goes with the in-depth study of the three different methods of cloud seeding and what each method does, what each method does not do. But ladies and gentlemen, when we look at the news and what I think we should know, this is one of them. We should be aware of what cloud seeding is about. We should be aware of what's taking place when the Supreme Court renders a decision that the state of Florida has no state rights as to who's coming in, whether they're illegal or illegal. We need to be aware of these news items. Also, and we'll touch on this and then take our next caller. Have you heard that many, many, if not most of our religious colleges and universities have now embraced the LGBTQ sodomite agenda? And how will this affect, ladies and gentlemen, our churches, Christians in the pew, and should Christians be concerned? And then what should we do about it? I believe Davis is on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Yeah, Dr. Youngberg, I believe just yesterday on the news, if I'm not mistaken, and I have been a couple of times, I believe there was a thing on there that says that right now, China owns about two-thirds of our agricultural land in the United States. Well,
right.
I mean, if they own that, I'm not surprised that there might be some manipulations in the cloud to cause all this stuff going on.
Very much. In fact,
that's very frightening to me.
In fact, if I can jump in, if I'm not mistaken, the articles and the research I've done on that, they actually own and control about 430,000-some-odd acres of productive agricultural cropland. And the danger of that is not just controlling our vegetables and our crops and our future food product. It is also many of these locations are surrounding